Join me in the spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto your sight. May those things said this morning that are true be engraved upon every heart. Anything said that is false be quickly forgotten and cause no harm. In your name we very humbly pray. Amen. I very seldom, if ever, preface a gospel reading with some type of explanation. But some of Jesus' sayings are like squirrels or shiny objects. And that as you listen to the reading, you're going to immediately wonder about a particular part. And then you'll hear nothing else. Such it is with this reading from the 14th chapter of Luke's Gospel. For in the reading, Jesus says that unless his disciples are willing to hate their mother, father, children, parents, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, what Jesus is doing is speaking in a Semitic hyperbole. He wants to catch your attention. The point of his teaching is not hatred. That is contrary to Jesus. But the point of his teaching is to get our life's priorities straight. That's what we will look at in the sermon. With that preface, hopefully you can avoid chasing a squirrel or being distracted by a shiny object. Now, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Who does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he or she has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when the foundation is laid and the tower is not able to be finished, all who see it will begin to ridicule, saying, 'This person began to build a tower and was not able to finish it.' Or what king going to wage war against another king will not sit down first and consider whether or not he is able with 10,000 troops to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he does not believe that he can prevail, while the other is still far away, he will send a delegation and ask for terms of peace. So, therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all of your possessions." Now, the text for this morning's sermon comes from the 27th verse of what Jesus just said. "Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." I'm going to share two stories with you. One of the stories you may have seen on a CBS news program within the last couple of weeks. It was about a little 8-year-old boy by the name of Christian. On the first day of school, Christian observed that there was some other little boy about his same age who was by himself and he was crying. Crying quietly, but visibly crying. Never having met the child before, Christian walked over to the boy and took him by the hand and walked with him to the school entrance. And holding his hand together, they waited for the bell to ring. And then Christian walked with him into the school. Christian's mother happened to be present, and seeing what happened, she put a picture of Christian holding the other little boy's hand and posted it on Facebook. The other little boy is named Connor. And almost immediately after the picture was posted on Facebook, Connor's mother replied to Christian's mother. Connor's mother is named Alice. And Alice wrote, "I am always afraid when Connor goes to school that someone is going to make fun of him or is going to ridicule him because Connor is autistic." Now, as a footnote, if you know anything about autism, you know that children can be very easily overwhelmed. Too much noise, too much action, too many squirrels, too many shiny objects. They just shut down. And that's what happened. But when Christian went over and took Connor's hand, Connor felt happy, he said. And when Christian walked into school with Connor and helped him find his classroom, Connor was no longer afraid. Well, the local CBS News affiliate in Kansas City picked up the story. They interviewed both Christian and Connor's mothers. And as they sat side by side on the couch, Connor's mom said, "It doesn't matter color, it doesn't matter gender, it doesn't matter disability, it doesn't matter anything. Just be kind. Open your heart. That's what we need in this world." And Christian's mom added, "Kindness can change the world. That's all it takes." Now, not that it should matter, but in our current culture and atmosphere, I think it is helpful to know that Christian is black and Connor is white. As I reflected upon that text and the things that are happening within our midst, as I reflected upon this sermon series that we will continue until the beginning of Advent, of what it means to be a disciple, and what the cost of discipleship truly is, I began to wonder to myself, if people wouldn't be attracted to Christianity if more Christians acted like little 8-year-old Christians in Kansas City. To be kind, not to make fun, not to ridicule. It doesn't make any difference of age or color or background or disability. Just be kind. Now, in order to help you remember to be kind this week, after worship, as you leave, there are little kind bars for you to take with you. You may feel free to eat them. The other story happened in Texas. It was about a junior high girl who was on a track team. She's also active in her church. A track event had to be postponed and had to be rescheduled. Now, it just so happened that the rescheduled track event was on the same weekend that the girl had already committed to go with her church youth group on a retreat. She didn't know what to do, and she worried about it, so she went to talk to her coach. And you just will not believe what the coach said. Or maybe you will believe it. The coach said, "Your teammates are counting on you. If you don't go to the track meet, just turn in your uniform." She went home that night, not knowing what to do. She didn't sleep much that night. She cried a bit. But the next morning when she went to school, she went to the coach's office, turned in her uniform, and walked off to class. That night her parents asked her about it. She said, "You know, it's a junior high track meet. It's a makeup from one that had been postponed. The retreat is about God. What is more important than God?" That's the cost of discipleship. Discipleship means that you may not be able to do some things that you would like to do. It may mean that you may need to make a sacrifice. When Jesus said to pick up your cross, he did not mean pick up the cross when it is easy and when it is convenient. He meant to pick up the cross in a daily life. Picking up our cross may mean that we are like Christian and look at the child who is crying or the person who is crying or the situation that is broken, and we reach out to do something rather than just wish that somebody else would do something about a situation. It may mean that we have to reorganize our priorities and really do a gut check to see what is really important in life, such as this junior high girl. Now, you may not have agreed with her decision, and that has no relevance. But the fact is, She had to make a decision, because we all have to make decisions and choices in life. That's part of what I was talking about with the children's message, with the broken chalice. Some of the decisions we will make is wrong, are wrong, and God will forgive us. But being a Christian means picking up one's cross, the cross of Christ. When Christ decided to pick up the cross, what did it cost him? His life. Someone should not be surprised to learn that you go to church. Someone should not be surprised to know that you base your life's values on the teachings of Jesus. This communion table reminds us that we do not walk through life by ourselves. In the end of the Gospel of St. Matthew, Jesus, the very last line, he says, "Lo, remember this, I am with you always." Always, at all times, in all places. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. Men and women will come from north and south, east and west, to sit at table in God's kingdom. This is the Lord's table, and he invites those who believe in him to come and to enjoy the meal that he has prepared for us. Would you let us join together in the spirit of prayer? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right for us to give our thanks and praise.
Our Lord God, we lift up thanks and praise to you for the many tender mercies and blessings that you have given to us in this life, and for all that we enjoy and celebrate. But we also, as we gather around this table and share this fruit and this bread and this fruit of the vine, we're also remembering the broken places in this world. For all those families and those communities that have been destroyed by the Hurricane Dorian, as it still weaves its way across the eastern coast of our nation, we remember the families who lost home and everything else, the families who mourn because of the loss of life, those families who wonder where their loved ones are and if they will ever be found. We pray for all of those who face hardship. We pray for the brutality that we find and the shootings that we find, not only in our own land, but especially in our own city, and for the broken places. We ask that you might enable us, give us the wisdom to be agents of healing and not to ignore a situation, but to reach out in Christian love. We pray for the broken places of this world. There's too much death and destruction, needless death and destruction, too much stupid poverty when greed wins out over sharing. Lord God, we bow before you, ready to be fed by your hand, nurtured and encouraged to do your work. In your name, we very humbly pray. Amen. On the night of his arrest, when Jesus was with his disciples, after he had given thanks, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, all of you, for this is my body, broken for you." In the very same manner, after they had supped, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant that is sealed in my blood. As often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you are proclaiming the death of the Lord until he comes." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. All who believe in me will never hunger, and all who trust in me will never thirst." He also said, "I am the vine. You are the branches. Cut off from me, you can do nothing." The table has been set. The invitation has been given. The bread that we share is gluten-free. All who feel moved by the Spirit may partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine. Amen.